boys and girls, children of all ages, ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com proudly brings to you, Oh, You Didn't Know? You see, it's me. It's you. It's that G-U-double-T rolling again with that J-C-D.
What up?
I'm a nice man. Yeah, I'm an ass man.
JCD, John, welcome back to the show.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
Good. Still fighting this cough, but I'm good.
Oh, no. Well, I hope you have some soup and some tea and get better soon, man.
Yep. Thank you.
We are not alone this week, JCD. We have a couple of guests with us. First, he has the famous Pro Wrestling Obsession Facebook group. He is known as The Prophet. Welcome, Rick Craig.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Glad to have you
How's
on the
going?
Show, Rick. Also with us, we have another guest. He is an independent wrestler. Wrestles, I think, mainly in the Northeast. Please welcome the Last Warrior, Grey Wolf.
Ahoo! Gentlemen, it's a pleasure being on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for joining us this week, Grey Wolf.
Thank you much for having me.
Hopefully our sound is okay. I heard a little bits of things, but I hope it's okay.
We can hear you just fine.
Okay, great. Well, why don't we go ahead and get started and talk with you, Grey Wolf, a little bit about you. Why don't you tell our audience, people listening on PWP Radio, a little bit about yourself?
Well, sure. What specifically would you like to know?
Well, where do you mainly wrestle? What promotions? And how did you begin your wrestling career?
Sure. Primarily, as you said, I wrestle up and down the Northeast, Baltimore, Maryland, in Delaware, different places in Pennsylvania, and up in New Jersey primarily. Different promotions that I work for, to name a few, Dynamite Championship Wrestling out of Delaware, Eastern Wrestling Alliance out of Maryland, the Worldwide Wrestling Alliance, who travels over different parts of Pennsylvania and New Jersey. That's just to name a few different ones. I'll be wrestling for the Monster Factory Pro Wrestling. There's several that I have worked for over the past year, and that's just a few. As far as my beginning, I've been wrestling professionally now for approximately 7 years or so.
Okay, great. So fairly new to the sport or to the career. Who would you say that you admire in the business, and who influenced you to become a wrestler?
No, it's more of a situational thing rather than any one specific person. I would like to mention a few people that have really inspired me on the independent circuit themselves, just as far as, you know, sharing a lock with them and just learning different things. People such as Tom Brandy, Hangman Holly Watkins, Jake and Jack Molson, Axel Rotten, people such as that. The international superstar Cage, I'm sure you're all familiar with him. He wrestles up in the New York area. Those are different people I feel like I could learn a lot from, just sharing a locker room with them. And I always have the privilege of, you know, learning something when I'm in the locker room with them. As far as getting me into the sport itself, you know, as a child, we're always shown, you know, epics and told great stories of great warriors, you know, colliding and fighting for a great cause or something. And, you know, when I first seen professional wrestling, it's, man, oh, they have the greatest warriors, the biggest, fiercest, most ferocious warriors you could possibly imagine, you know, tangling with each other in these apps to see who's kind of the top warrior. And I feel, you know, to, you know, all the great warriors, this was the stage to be on, to fight the biggest, to fight the best. And I feel like that was really a draw for me, to the sport itself. In my younger generation, you know, people, I think Hulk Hogan was the big person getting the push at the time. But just people from that sort of generation led me to a similar stylistic style that I really have now. You know, people such as Jim the Anvil, Neidhart, Davey Boy Smith, Ravishing Rick Rude, all the sort of older generation wrestlers from that generation really, I think, compel my style forward and really define sort of the style I am influenced by, I think, more than others.
Well, speaking of, you know, those guys, I know, especially Jim the Anvil, Neidhart, Hulk Hogan, the others you mentioned, Ravishing Rick Rude, they were definitely, you know, the big names when I first started watching wrestling. So how would you compare them and, you know, wrestling, the product then, to how it is now?
You know, I really like how you use the word product, defining it more as, you know, a marketing catalyst rather than a sport itself. And I really feel like there's a lot that's taken away from it being an actual sport itself, you know. If you recall, even the change in physique from years ago compared to physiques that are more popular today has changed drastically. You had a lot more bigger bodybuilder-style wrestlers years back, the strongest, the biggest men you could possibly find. Now I feel that the style has switched to a more leaner, more aesthetic, more athletic sort of wrestler with a lot more high-flying than we used to see years ago. And I feel I've always been more drawn to, you know, the big two combatants locking horns, you know, pushing each other back and forth. And I'm really more, I think, personally drawn towards that style. And I feel what we have now is, from what I know of, I don't really follow the World Wrestling Entertainment or, you know, any of the mainstream things. I just sort of know what I know from Shane Lockman's people and, you know, hearsay and, you know, things like that. But what I observe, I think, frequently more practiced in different locker rooms and in different promotions that I happen to work for, and I feel like what I see is often some things replicated in what I see from what's televised is that difference in style, you know, which before you had a lot more bigger men locking up, and now it seems like there's so many different style of wrestler. You know, you could have somebody 150 pounds competing against somebody that's, you know, 275 pounds, whereas you really, I don't feel, saw that back then. And I feel also it was more about the wrestling years ago, and it was about the battle itself. And I feel like now it's become more of a drama, you know, whereas there's a lot more talking than actual wrestling, and people care more about what goes on behind the scenes rather than what's actually taking place in the ring. And I feel it's been to the detriment of the sport itself rather than to benefit. And that's my personal opinion.
I totally agree with you. I mean, obviously, especially when WWF became WWE, you know, they chose that word entertainment for a reason. And they chose to start moving from the sport to sports entertainment, and now maybe more just entertainment. Rick Craig, you have any questions for Grey Wolf?
Well, I think a lot of people who have not seen Grey Wolf before, and I've watched, I think, just about every match that's imaginable on YouTube and what have you. Very easy to dismiss somebody like Grey Wolf if you've not paid attention to what he does in the ring. You see a big, large bodybuilder walking down the aisle with red face paint all over his chest, on his thighs, has a big axe, yells Haroop, has his battle cry, and you think, oh my God, here comes another 1980s throwback, another bad gimmick. But you know what? Grey Wolf, it is an extension of who he is. And if Grey Wolf, if you would, can you kind of tell us and everyone listening how The Last Warrior came to be?
As you phrased, and I'd like to thank you personally, Rick, for being such a supporter as you have the past several months. It's very, very much appreciated by me and by all the members of the Horde. Rick,
you're
Craig,
very welcome, sir. Very welcome.
The Horde being the group of followers. As you had mentioned, it really is. It's not just, you know, a matter of theatrics. Oh, I'm going out and I'm playing a character, you know. And after the play is all said and done, we're all going to say who we are and take a bow. It's really not like that with me. With what I present forth is really a part of who I am, really is an extension of who I am. Everything I believe in, even, you know, The Last Warrior, I feel like I do tribute to the great warriors of old, and I feel, you know, every self me is The Last Warrior. It's not just portraying character. the discipline that it takes in pursuing what we do in the ring, the discipline that it takes with the hours, countless hours I spend in the gym conditioning my body, the countless hours of tape study. It really, and it overlaps not just in the ring, but into life itself, with how you discipline something, you know, and what defines a battle and overcoming those battles not all physical, all about overcoming our own obstacles. And what you see in the ring, you know, I, again, do great tribute to my ancestry when I carry out the axe and carry out, you know, I come out with the great helm. And then you have the war paint, which is, you know, if you look at culture throughout the world, a lot of tribal cultures especially, be it the Native American Indians or, you know, the tribes in Africa, the Celtic tribes, a lot of them will go into battle, you know, wearing this war paint. It's about what you become when you wear it, you know. And you could see the difference, you know, you apply the war paint and you become inspired, you know, and inspired to fight into battle. And you're a cycle like standing across the way on the battlefield from someone who's just plain-faced, you know, not even excited about what they're doing. It's a lot different than, you know, somebody ferociously snarling at you, donned in this paint, ready to take your life. And I'm not saying, you know, saying ready to take your life, but, you know, but to rush forth and give everything they have into the battle itself. Even the hairstyle that I wear, I feel like it's very reminiscent of having to wear that from day to day. I choose, because it is who I am, to take that upon myself as the mark of the warrior. Everyone knows who I am, and I will not defy who I am and kneel before anyone. So everything, all the elements that you see, just another extension of who I am outside of the ring, which really is the same person.
That's great.
That's great.
JCD, John, you don't know Grey Wolf so much or at all.
I did a little looking into him once you said you were going to have him on. Yeah. I got a simple question, because some of the things he just said kind of really caught my attention there. Let me ask you, man, if Vince or Dixie came calling, but the key was to change your gimmick and change your persona and character, would that be a perennial deal breaker?
You know, I really think it would. Because I really feel what I'm doing is the embodiment of who I am, and to ask me to not do it would be to, you know, ask him to stop breathing, to ask me to, you know, to just be something that I'm not. And it really is, you know, an extension of, as I said, what I am and who I am. And it would be very, very difficult for me to ever alter who and what I am. And, you know, for him to say, you know, you'd have to shave your head and shave your face, it may very well be, you know, a deal-breaking thing. I mean, I haven't been presented yet with that option, but it has been something I've, you know, thought about quite thoroughly.
Yeah, I mean, because, I mean, TNA not so much, but WWE definitely loves to put their own unique touch on guys. I mean, we've seen it with so many guys in the past, and you've got such a unique look and persona to yourself already, you know. It'd just be a shame to see that, you know, changed because it didn't come from the machine itself.
Yes, and that's also another argument that really has been brought up to me, is that Vince, you know, likes to put his own mark on people and have people be who he wants them to be rather than what they were or who they are.
Right.
So, that, yes, it is one of the arguments. And people say, well, why don't you just change and be a genetic person and just not have to worry about it later? Well, I couldn't do that. And my attitude really is, you know, I am who I am and cannot alter who I am, and he can either take me or leave me, and that would be his decision.
Absolutely.
It's a rare quality, because he's definitely got the look that Vince loves.
Absolutely.
Rick Craig, you have any other questions?
Well, I want to kind of get more into Grey Wolf's ring ability. Obviously a more power-based style.
Yes.
We've seen some very devastating moves from you that you've used. I guess I want to get into more of the technical part of it. Grey Wolf, you and I have kind of had a very brief discussion on this. We didn't touch on it very long, but I wanted to dig a little further with this.
Sure.
When you have an opponent you've never faced in the ring before for the very first time, or an opponent that you know, either through your own study or through, you know, hearsay, doesn't really bring it to the ring. And I'm not definitely not here to throw anybody under the bus or anything like that. But I've watched some of your matches, and it's very clear to me that the person you're up against has no clue what they're doing. So I guess before you get in a ring with somebody like that or somebody you've never faced before, what do you do to prepare for that?
That's a very good question, one I've never been asked before. I sort of rely on my own aptitude and ability to determine, you know, what we should do, what should be done. And I feel that preparing, you know, it's obviously better to be in the ring with somebody you know you can trust and who's been around and really knows what they're doing. And as you said, I've been in the ring with people who just weren't trained properly. And in that situation, you just really have to take over and make sure you keep them in line, you know, that let them do as little as they want to do as possible and just keep on them, the pressure on them to make sure you're establishing yourself as the ring veteran, you know, the person that's sort of leading it along. But it is very difficult. And as I said, the only way to prepare is really just rely on your own aptitude and force them to listen to you. That's about the only thing you really can do.
Do you actually try to get a hold of some footage or anything to try to get an idea, I guess, on what their style is or what their weaknesses are so that you're, I guess, prepared ahead of time so you can put on a quality match?
I mean, typically I know a lot of people just through working around, and it's like a great brotherhood, you know, wrestling is, and you really get to know people, and you really get to know who they are, what they're about, and you can even determine, for the most part, not always, what somebody's style is going to be just by their physical appearance. You know, I know a 300-pound man isn't going to be doing flips off, or I'd hope a 300-pound man wouldn't be doing flips off the top rope, and I'd hope, you know, somebody who's 150 pounds would know better than to try to push me around, because it's just not going to work. So you have those sort of obvious kind of things where you can tell a story. But then you have people who want to do, you know, complicated moves, or, you know, you've seen that they'll try to use this move, and not just, you know, and when they do it, it doesn't come off well, or it just doesn't happen properly. And I'm just let them know, you know, you're not doing it, because it's not going to come off well. It's not going to be devastating, and, you know, I'll just shut that down immediately and tell them, no, I'm not going to permit you to do that. And if they try, then the consequences are on them.
Well, I definitely wouldn't want to be on the receiving end of the consequences.
Absolutely. John, you got any other questions?
Let me ask you something. Let me ask you this.
Cool.
Looking at the guys that have the style of build that you do, you know, I'm not talking like a Daniel Bryan guy, because that would just be a complete another squash. Is there anyone now or in the recent era that you kind of modeled yourself after, or you would love to get in there with, just because your styles are so similar? Anyone like more mainstream, like on the WWE roster or TNA or even ROH?
As I said before, I really don't follow really much of what's going on in the WWE or the old TNA. And yes, I do have the old big power style, and I feel like you always must adapt your style to who you're going to be working with. But I have had the privilege of working with some of the Ring of Honor guys. QT Marshall and I had a good match. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him. He just recently got signed with Ring of Honor. So I had the privilege of working with him. One name I do see thrown around a lot, and I think we probably could put on a good quality match, perhaps Ryback. I know he's a big, you know, power style. He's quite taller than I am. You know, there's so much I can do about my height. But I feel physique-wise and power-wise, we sort of modeled each other's style. I don't really want to say I modeled myself after anybody. I try to do different things, you know, and incorporate different things into my style that other people might not be doing, to sort of make it a little more my own. But perhaps something like Ryback can be with some, you know, a big person like that, and, you know, bludgeon each other back and forth.
Gray, well, what would you say is your favorite and your least favorite aspects of the wrestling business?
Again, a very good question. As far as ultimate favorite, I really can't say. Perhaps just the camaraderie, you know, people I meet along the way, that I've developed sort of a kinship with, people that, you know, had I not pursued this course will not be able to call my brothers and sisters, you know, that relationships, you know, for a lifetime, that I'll value and that I'll never forget. That is one thing that's, you know, of great, great importance to me. Another thing, and sort of a different facet, would be, you know, that a lot of people, especially children, see what we do. And I really try to set myself as an example that they can look up to, someone who they could sort of identify with and, you know, say, what would Grey Wolf do in this situation? You know, sort of be a good role model for them. You know, just to see the look on a child's face, you know, when you know that you've done something, you know, something extremely fulfilling to me personally. What I'll do is, you know, I have a merchandise table. I usually sell 8x10s. My girlfriend runs my merchandise, and she'd frequently tell me, you can't just keep giving things away to children because they don't have money. So I said, you know what? Yes, I can. So here's what I'll do. I'd usually give, you know, away a signed 8x10 or something. I'd end up losing money at the end of the day sometimes because I'd give away so much to children. So what I start doing is handing out smaller pictures. So if some, you know, child came up without money, I could give them a little, you know, at least a little something, and it's not really costing me much, and they get something in return. So just to see that, you know, I've made a child happy. That's another great thing that I feel really means a lot to me in this business. And another thing is just the thrill of being in front of the crowd and doing what I love to do. Knowing that I'm there, I'm entertaining them, and at the end of the day, they might remember something that I've done, you know, and say, yes, I remember that Grey Wolf, he did this or he did that. So that's another very fulfilling thing. As for the least favorite aspects of the business, I really feel the pettiness. Especially when you get on the independent level and this person doesn't like this person, so they're doing this promotion against this promotion. And I really think, you know, the person who that ultimately hurts in the end are the people who are torn between. I remember at one point being torn between three different promotions in one given territory because they're all fighting amongst each other. And you know, which is, it's very sad because I consider some people brothers in all the different promotions, and to try to have to be put between that and torn between, you know, people you care about and, you know, different loyalties to different people. And it's just the petty politicking, you know, no one on the independent level is making a good deal of money at what they're doing. We're all in it because we love to do it. And to see people constantly torn apart, having to choose sides, I think that's probably my least favorite. And I refuse to participate in any petty politicking. I just dismiss it as I would any sort of drama, and just to see it as a negative thing. And I feel in life you just have to release all that is negative and detach yourself from all negativity. So that's what I try to do. And I try not to even think about, you know, the petty politicking involved, which is my least favorite part about it.
I think that's great that you, especially what you were saying at the beginning, how you, you know, want to give something to the children, even if it means, you know, losing a little bit of money. You know, that says a lot about you and your character, and, sure, and obviously how much you love what you do.
Yes.
And you bring up a great point with that, Seth, too, is those who see Grey Wolf and what he's doing, you know, with Facebook and Twitter. You look online, he's constantly posting photos of himself, you know, with young kids and with fans who, his horde, the people who adore him,
yes,
who come out to watch him wrestle and perform. It's just a quality that he endears. You know what, I've had the privilege and pleasure of being able to speak and discuss things with several professional wrestlers, and all honestly, Brother Man, you are the classiest one I've ever met.
It's much appreciated, sir. Very much appreciated.
Yeah, you definitely got a set of ideals that is unique in this day and age, and it's refreshing to hear.
Something else that we need to talk about real quick before we...
Yeah.
Get on, I guess, with things. Smart Mark Radio, Grey Wolf. Last year, you were up in the running for Male Independent Wrestler of the Year. Came pretty close. Yeah, you're up there again this year, and as of last checking, you're in second place. How does that make you feel?
You know, it just makes you feel really good that I have so many supporters, so many people who think enough of me to, you know, go on and vote for me in that contest. It's just a real honor to even have been nominated in the first place. And, you know, hopefully the horde will support me enough to where, you know, they'll show at the end of the day who they support. And I wasn't even going to bring up the contest here today, but now that you had mentioned it, it makes me feel really good that people would just take a few seconds to, you know, go and just voice their support for me. That does make me feel really good.
Hey, Rick, who's in first place?
I can't remember, to be honest with you, because it didn't matter to me at the time. I looked at Grey Wolf, saw him in second, and said, this is a travesty.
Right.
I got to get to work.
Yeah. I'm curious who else is in the running, who Grey Wolf's competition is in this.
I'll tell you what, if you want to ask him another question, I'll take some time and see if I can find that answer real quick for you.
Well, Grey Wolf, what do you think your chances are in this competition? I mean, obviously Rick said you're in second place. You know, what do you think? What are you expecting to happen here?
I guess what will happen will happen. I'm hoping for the best. I'm hoping enough people will support me in this. And I know one person who I believe it was in the lead last I checked was Joe Gomez, who I believe won last year.
I think you're right.
Yes. I've shared a locker room with him. You know, another friend of mine. A few names that I sort of browsed over it earlier that on Mark he happened to be on there. Another person I've shared a locker room. Ed House, another fantastic wrestler, really, really good talent, who I also had the privilege of sharing a locker room with. So if it doesn't go to me, you know, hopefully it'll go to one of my brothers, one of the people, you know, that I know is very talented and that I know would also deserve the award as well as I would.
Looks like, gentlemen, Grey Wolf is currently in fourth place. Gomez is in first. Red Eagle is in second. Ed House is in third. Grey Wolf is in fourth. Horde, you've got some work to do, brothers and sisters.
Well, I would like to thank you, Grey Wolf, for taking the time to speak with us on your career and your goals. And obviously, we wish you very best luck in this competition. Who knows, you're in fourth place today. You may be in first or second place tomorrow.
Yes, I'm.
But I do appreciate you joining us here on PWP Radio.
Thank you very much for having
me. Thank you for being on.
We're going to continue the show and talk a little bit of wrestling news and rumors. Grey Wolf, you're more than welcome to stay on.
Sure.
If you would like to go,
I don't know how much I'll have to contribute, but I'll stay on.
Okay, no problem. I know Rick, you definitely keep up with your news and rumors on the Pro Wrestling Obsession Facebook page, which everyone should definitely check out and join on Facebook.
Thank you, appreciate that.
So, John, let's get started with some news and rumors.
Well, apparently we dropped the ball tonight, because if we would have done our homework, we could have been at Rick's Cabaret tonight for Bully Ray's bachelor party.
Wow. Where is that held?
New York City.
Is it? Where?
Where's Rick's? I think it's not too far off Times Square. But they are taking this to a whole other level for tomorrow night. They actually, I'm assuming you didn't see anything on this. They're renting out Rick's Cabaret in New York City. They've rented out a whole floor. They're doing a legit dinner. They're having a whole party there. Rick's Cabaret is even advertising it on its website that this is happening tonight. And I guess the footage will air sporadically throughout Impact tomorrow night leading into the wedding, because we all know wrestling weddings go off without a hitch at all, you know.
Okay.
So it should be a little interesting where this all goes tonight. I don't think we're going to get any report on it tonight, I'm sure, because I'm sure TNA is going to keep it, you know, tight, close. But be interesting to see where this all ends up tomorrow night. Where do you guys think this thing's ending? We kind of touched on it last night. It seems to be split between that they're both going to join Aces and Eights, or just Brooks going to join Aces and Eights. What do you guys think?
Well, I guess first thing for me would be, number one, the wedding angle in wrestling is about as tired as you can get, I think. then they're done that. There's not a whole lot of new ways to do it, and it always turns out bad, just like you said. Secondly, I guess as far as what I think is going to happen, I'm going to go with the latter. I think Brooke's going to join Aces and Eights and turn on Bully and her father.
I think that would probably be the smartest move. You know, obviously, I kind of like Bully and Devon being on opposite sides. I think that's much more interesting nowadays than having them on the same side, which we saw for a very long time. So I hope it happens that way. And obviously, we all know weddings and wrestling don't get along too well.
Yeah, exactly. And especially with TNA, God knows how they're going to book this.
Yeah, they're going to do it worse than WWE would.
This will end up with Sting joining Aces and Eights tomorrow night.
I'm just glad Vince Russo's not there.
Vince Russo ruins everything.
Yeah. Sometimes the devil you know is better than the one you don't.
That's true.
You know, I agree with you guys. I am leaning more towards Brooke joining only because it doesn't make sense for Bully at this point in his career and where he's at with that character to turn. I know he's been over-the-top sappy as of late, and the proposal was kind of lame, and I know a lot of people are making a big deal about that look he shot in the camera right when he was hugging her at the end of Impact Thursday night. But I think it makes more sense for him, for Brooke to turn, Hogan not knowing what to do, and then looking to Bully for help, and Bully just being like, no, you know, I offered my help to you in September, in October. You turned away from, you know, and Bully eventually having to be that last hope. I think that will work better for him than Bully joining Aces and Eights and just being another guy that's got to be taken down eventually.
Now, you guys did hear the latest rumor. Grey Wolf is supposedly going to be the leader of Aces and Eights.
That'd be great.
Yep.
What else you got for us, John?
Well, a lot of people, obviously, the controversy of Monday night, with Monday Night's Raw, no big stars. A lot of people initially Monday night watching the show were complaining. I was one of them that hated it Monday night when I watched it. I got home at like 9:30, started to watch it from the beginning, and caught up to the show by fast-forwarding my DVR before the cage match, which I didn't expect to. However, looking back on it, I watched it again on Tuesday. And, excuse me, taking the 20th anniversary out of it, looking back on it, it really wasn't a bad show. It was actually a really good show. The rating was strong. I got to admit, the one thing I didn't really like about it was The Rock. I think we're looking at Punk 3, Rock 0 right now. I want to get your guys' take, now that it's had a few days to sit in, where are you guys with that show as a show and not so much the 20th anniversary show?
Well, you know, I do these Bleacher Report articles every Monday night. The questions left unanswered after Raw. Rick, I know you've seen them because I post them on that Facebook page.
Yes.
And I like many others, kind of bashed the episode quite a bit, you know, but like you said, John, looking back at it, I do think about it a little differently. There were certain segments that I thought were really great. Anytime Dr. Shelby is on, I love it. I love I thought that even when he first started, he should have been Team Hell No's manager.
Agreed.
I know they don't really need a manager.
Yeah.
They're funny on their own, and they definitely don't need someone doing their mic work for them. But I just thought that it added a lot, and they shouldn't have just gotten rid of the character, which they only got rid of him, you know, temporarily, since he was back on Monday. But I hope that once again they do keep him on TV, especially his interactions with Sandow and Rhodes were amazing. So I thought that whole segment was wonderful. Looking back at The Rock's song, The Rock concert, it actually was pretty good. I actually thought that, you know, Rock is funny, and anytime he's on the mic, he's gonna be hilarious. But again, he's not always serious as much as he probably should be, or definitely not serious as someone like CM Punk usually is. So in terms of a regular Raw, I liked those segments, but at the same time, we also saw a lot of the same matches that we always see. Dolph Ziggler versus John Cena, Wade Barrett versus Randy Orton, Team Hell No versus Rhodes Scholars in separate singles matches. The only match on Raw that had never been done before was CM Punk versus Brodus Clay.
What does that say?
That was the only never-before-seen match on Raw. So there were good parts to the episode, but even if it wasn't an anniversary show, I still think that they gave us too much of the same things. What do you think, Rick?
Well, I agree with you. I think if we want to honestly assess the show and take a step back and look at it and just compare it to Raw's, it was a quality show. The matches were good. I can't, think of very many spots on the show where I felt like this is crap. I need to, watch something else or fast forward or something to that effect. If you look at it and take it in that context, I think it was better than the average Raw. But I think with the expectations of what the rumors were flying all over the dirt sheets and all over the Internet and all over Facebook and Twitter, and, Glenn Ruth, Headbanger Thrasher, is part of the Pro Wrestling Obsession page, and he was even hinting that they were talking to the WWE about making an appearance. So I think that was a reality. They were lining up all these people. How can you be in Houston and not get, Stone Cold Steve Austin and not get Shawn Michaels, not even mentioning Booker T's from Houston, trying to make a big deal about it? I think they legitimately had that on the books and then, for whatever reason, pulled the plug on it. So I think the anticipation and the build and the excitement they generated for it was a letdown.
Well, I think it had a lot to do with, I think I read Shawn Michaels and... who else was it? Shawn Michaels and Austin had some show that
they had prior to that. And I know Edge had a death in the family or something as well. I guess he was reached out to as well.
Right. But I read that because Michaels and Austin couldn't make it, they decided not to really bring back anyone that significant other than guys that we've seen somewhat recently, like Foley and Flair.
Right.
But, they did advertise. I know Graham GSM Matthews from Bleacher Report, he also has his PWP radio show on Thursdays at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. He tweeted the video that WWE did advertise
that
past superstars were going to be there.
Yeah, I mentioned that last night.
So, it's one thing to in the back, have this situation where, Michaels and Austin didn't work out, we're just not going to bring back anyone. But, the advertisement is kind of what lets me down a bit.
Yeah. I agree with it on that aspect. As far as the matches, the only match I could really say that really was done maybe a little wrong was if you were going to do Cena Ziggler in a cage, you should have had Ziggler beat Cena, even with Langston's interference last week to set that up. I thought Barrett going over Orton clean, especially with no entrance for Barrett, was amazing. Punk Clay was great follow-up from last week's promo with Punk. Hell No and Road Scholars, the singles matches, they announced the tag match for the Rumble, so I get why they did that. That's why I really thought it was a real good show. And as far as Rock goes, I just don't think this was the show for that, especially when you've only got 1 week left. And I mentioned this to you last week, Seth. He's going to run out of material, and this tells me that he's got nothing left to do three Raws.
Yeah, what's he going to do next week?
What's he got left next week? And I'm telling you, Punk's been better than him. All three shots, Punk was better. Punk was better on Raw, Punk was better on SmackDown, and Punk was better Monday night.
Absolutely. I mean, with the leaked information that we may see Rock Cena 2, I mean, I also, like Rick, don't like spoilers. Actually, I do end up reading the SmackDown ones. But in general, I don't want to know what's going to happen come WrestleMania time now. And, for people thinking this, then I don't want to see The Rock win now. I actually wouldn't have minded it as much if I didn't think that it would just lead to another Rock-Cena match. But knowing that, I don't want to see that happen.
I think they're messing with us.
I hope so.
I'm probably going to be wrong. The four matches that are out there, we're probably going to get. But I don't know. This just kind of reeks of them putting it out there and go here, go here, go here. And when the time the Rumble comes, or even Elimination Chamber, because now this talk rocks Rock may wrestle Punk against the Chamber, I think this is going to be completely thrown on its head, what we may get.
Well, if you think about it, the Dirt Sheets reported that Austin and Michaels and Undertaker and a bunch of others were set to appear on Raw. And so they totally got us there. So it would be interesting to see if they get us once again with these four men.
What I wonder is also, too, is WWE putting stuff out there to make you think it's going to be this, when in reality we've got that locked in?
And to John's point, he's Vince McMahon doesn't like the internet very much and the IWC, and he is willing to do things like that to mess with you now. So, John, that's a valid point.
You know, think we're going to do Rock Cena 2, think we're going to do Sheamus Orton for the world title, think we're going to do Punk Taker, Triple H Lesnar, and then, this one's going to win the Rumble. This one's going to win an Elimination Chamber, and next, you know, this one's going to cost Rocky the title, and next thing you know, it's, you know, I mean, look at even what Rocky said a couple weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. Oh, my WrestleMania storyline starts tonight. That was at the January 7th Raw. I didn't see a WrestleMania storyline started with Rocky.
Right. That's true. That's a very good point. Rick, anything else on this topic?
I don't think on that topic.
All right, John, anything else you want to bring up?
Yeah, in what seems to be, you can't believe anything till it's announced, looks like there's a couple more names possibly for the Hall of Fame that popped up this week.
Are you talking about the Click?
Yes.
Yeah, besides that, yeah. Yeah.
Kamala.
Yeah.
Backlund's been in Connecticut, and they wanna get Backlund in. Supposedly, there's no word yet as to whether or not he's committed. I think the fact that he's working with him again is probably a good sign that it's going to help him. He did do the Heath Slater angle. He was on Raw 1000. And he is on the alumni page now. I think he got a good shot. And the big one that still won't go away.
Who was that, John? I'm sorry, I didn't hear the name.
Backlund.
Are you talking about Kamala or Bob Backlund?
No, Bob Backlund.
Backlund, yes, okay.
And then, you know, now there's reports that Hunter, at the drop of a dime, will fly to Pittsburgh for San Martino to try to get him in. And now with the fact that they've got talks of a physical building, this has got a shot of happening. Because I listened, Bruno did an interview, what was it, like 6 months ago when it first came out that Hunter spoke with him? Bruno did an interview with somebody, and I listened to it. And one of the things he said was he wants to go in when there's a physical building. And right after that, they announced the plans to start building an actual building in Orlando. He had nothing but nice things to say about Hunter. His beef is with Vince, and supposedly it's over money. Hunter might be the guy to get this done. So you may be looking at San Martino, depending on if Hunter can get on a plane and go to Pittsburgh.
Was that interview also the one where he responded to Jericho?
No.
Did you see that? That response to Jericho?
From Superstar Graham?
Yeah, from Graham. Was it Graham or was it San Martino?
It was Graham. Graham responded
to Jericho.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, Graham responded. San Martino hasn't said anything about the Punk interview, about the Punk comments, which is another thing that makes you wonder you know, maybe there is something to this. You know, Punk took, character-wise, a shot, you know, and Bruno's a prideful guy. You know, there was no comeback from Bruno, so maybe there is something to this. I'm not big on the click going in as the click. That was a backstage thing. And
Yeah, I agree.
I think DX and do the NWO. You know, and
right.
If you can't get Hogan in for the NWO thing, you can do Hall, Nash, and X-Pac.
Right.
People would accept that.
Right.
Getting back to San Martino just for a minute, I think, you know, when you were saying, John, about money, I think a lot of it is also the direction of the business. And Bruno really took some negativity towards WWF when the elder Vince, you know, had turned over the company to the younger Vince and then went global and started going in the cartoonish direction in the 80s. That's where Bruno started having some issues and some of the things that Vince was making him do with his son and stuff like that towards the end of his career. I don't know. I mean, to me, if they're going to open up a physical wing, and Seth, I know you've probably read my articles and what I think of WWE Hall of Fame. If they decide to open up a physical building, you can't not have San Martino. You cannot not have Savage. You cannot not have Owen Hart. You cannot have the Ultimate Warrior, you know?
Let me ask you something, Rick, about two of those names you just said.
Sure.
And I wrote an article on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse about this, about the Savage Owen and how they're kind of tied in together.
Right.
They're kind of the similar situations. Poffo claims, because Randy never said this publicly, we have to go in as a family. Now, there are people that say, screw Poffo, put Savage in anyway. Have his widow do the, you know, acceptance. On the same token, Martha Hart does not want Owen in. When you say, screw Martha, go to Brett, everyone throws their hands up and says, you can't do that. That's, you know, Martha Hart has the estate and this and that. It's kind of ironic that both situations, the solution to one is the problem to the other. I can understand more waiting for Martha Hart to kind of maybe turn over and say, all right, do it. I'm not big on them being strong-armed by Lanny Poffo, no less. Where do you stand with the Savage Owen thing?
Well, right. I guess my thoughts on it were I tend to believe it. I don't think Lanny Poffo's strong-arming it. I honestly believe that's what Randy wanted. I mean, if we want to take a look back into the 90s when WCW did their Hall of Fame, the Poffos got in because Angelo got in.
Just him and the father, though.
Angelo Poffo got in. Does Angelo Poffo, seriously, if we wanted to be, you know, look at the career of Angelo Poffo, yes, he was a solid wrestler. Yes, he did his job. Hall of Fame, big draw. I think Randy honestly wanted his whole family to go in together. I think it was just a pride thing that he believed in the Poffos. And from what I understand, too, is he really wanted that to happen when the Von Erichs started getting pushed into the Hall of Fames as a group, as a family. So I believe there's legitimacy to that. I don't think Lanny's, you know, trying to BS everybody.
Well,
I think that's what Randy's were.
I don't want you to think that I think Lanny's a liar, but the problem with the Savage's situation is he never made those comments while alive. And while I understand what you're saying with the WCW thing, two things with the WCW thing. Number one, Lanny didn't go in WCW. And number
correct.
Two, if you remember where that was at that time, Angelo was kind of the catalyst for the Flair Savage feud in 95. So how much of that was legitimately we want to put your father in, and how much of that was, hey, let's get some real more heat to this storyline, and let's, you know, we'll put your father in the Hall of Fame, and it will look just that much worse when Flair and Anderson beat up a Hall of Famer who, by the way, happens to be your father.
You know, John, that is a great point. I hadn't even thought of that angle, but that is a very distinct possibility.
Do you guys think that well, Bret Hart's already been inducted on his own, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So And so has his father, right?
Yeah.
So what do you think is going to, do you think that the Hart family will get inducted again? Or, I mean, that would, the only reason WWE would even do that is to get Owen in, because they've already inducted Brett and Stu.
That may have to be the final way to do it. That may be eventually their only way to do it, if Martha Hart just continues to stand her ground on this. That may be the the only way around it.
Well, the only other option I was thinking on that, John, is if they didn't get Owen in individually, which I can understand, I guess, if he didn't, he definitely would have to go in under the Hart Foundation with Jim and Brett and himself and Davey Boy.
Pillman,
I guess,
and Davey Boy.
Him in there, too.
Hold
and
on.
Get them all in under that banner if you wanted to.
Yeah, I guess just the issue is that lawsuit, you know, which is, I think, another reason why no one's just, why even Brett hasn't turned around. Because, I mean, Brett's a big proponent of it. Brett wants him in. And I think that lawsuit, though, is the only reason why Brett hasn't just gone to Vince yet and been like, you know what, screw Martha, just do it.
Well, you got to understand also the spouse is the proprietor of the estate now, so technically
right.
Owen's name is under her, not Brett. So
right, but how do you
There could be legal
right.
issues that way too. So,
and that's exactly how it could probably make even getting him under the Hart family, you know, in a problem as well. You know, I'm assuming that's why it hasn't happened yet.
And until the lawsuits are resolved, it's a mess and nothing's going to happen. I mean, it's that simple.
Yeah. Yeah. And as far as Savage goes,
I see it getting done eventually, but not anytime soon.
No. Yeah, I could see that too, and I could see a big, big check going to Martha Hart for it.
Agreed.
And I mean, one last thing about Savage, too. The only thing that makes me really skeptical about Poffo, and it's not even so much the fact that Randy never said it publicly, is the fact that supposedly there was a scenario presented where if you let us induct Randy on his own, we'll induct you with your father. So they would, I guess they would kind of both be inducted the same year, but they would want to put Randy in with Elizabeth and put Angelo in with Lanny, and Lanny said no.
Really?
That's the only thing, you're getting in, your father's getting in, let us put Randy in with Liz, and, you know, you're putting the kibosh on it.
That would be interesting.
That is interesting. I had not heard that.
So, that's the only thing. Again, as far as the click goes, I'd rather see DX in the NWO. That click, especially back in those days, not everyone was a big fan of it, you know. And with all
it was viewed very negatively by especially people who weren't members of it.
Yeah.
I mean, they ran amok in the back room, and that's, I don't know, this is backstage politics being put in front of everyone now, so.
Yeah, which is another thing that you're bringing to the forefront. I mean, it was always kind of touched on, but the details never really went into it. I don't, you know, you may have to really delve into it to put all these guys in as a group.
All right, well, let's move on. We only have a few minutes left. Is there anything else you want to touch on, John?
I think I got everything for tonight. FWE in Brooklyn next month.
Yeah, you
any
and I don't talk about that.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to do the McCutcheon show. I don't know if I'm going to do the McCutcheon show, but, I mean, the Brooklyn show's right in my backyard.
Okay, so let's talk on Facebook on that.
Yeah.
We are supposedly having FWE star, former NXT Divas, Sophia Cortez. Her real name, I can't even pronounce it.
Izalette Valise.
Is it Valise?
Izalette Valise, I think, is the way you pronounce it.
Yeah, supposedly she will be on our show. I need to confirm that with FWE. She's expected to be with us, I think, in 2 weeks.
No, she's next week.
Oh, she's next week? Let me check my
calendar.
So I better confirm that with her. Yeah, she's with us next week, and then the 30th is your girl, John, that you got us, Allie Parker.
Yep.
We may be having another former WWE star, or not, I don't know about star, but star, Mike Mondo, I've been in touch with and hoping to get him on PWP Radio.
And we may be getting the girl from Jay's show last night. We may be getting her in February for us.
Okay, that'd be great. Let me know on that because we only have a few dates available, actually.
And then you and I will touch base. You said you have a Wednesday in February that you're no good on?
Right. February 13th, there will be no show.
Well, I'm going to host that week.
Okay, great. Awesome. And other than that, I'm around. And so we will wrap up here and let everyone know all of our information. PWP Radio, hosted by ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Check them out. If you're interested in writing or contributing in some way, please let Jay know, or you can let one of us know, and we'll help you out with that. You can find me on Twitter at Seth Gutt, SethGutt. Check out my site, GuttWrenchPowerBlog.com. That's GUTT, WrenchPowerBlog.com. I'm a WWE featured columnist on Bleacher Report, so check me out on there. Been writing lots of articles recently, so you want to check those out. John, do you have anything coming up on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse?
Well, I had my Punk article about how Heyman could lead to him turning face, my Zack Ryder heel turn article, and my new weekly thing, The Week That Was.
All right, great. And Rick, why don't you tell everyone a little bit about Pro Wrestling Obsession?
Yeah, if you want to get your fix in pro wrestling, you love wrestling like we all do here on the show tonight, check out Pro Wrestling Obsession on Facebook, please. Also, while we're talking about it, let's give a shout-out to Grey Wolf, our guest today, www.facebook.com/xGreyWolfX. He accepts fans and is kind enough to talk to you at all times, so he's a great guy, great guest tonight.
Awesome. Thank you so much again, Grey Wolf, for joining us and sticking around.
Haru.
Haru.
Thank you again for having me.
Rick, thank you so much for joining us here on PWP Radio. I hope you can join us again at some point.
Absolutely.
And John, if you ain't down with that, I got two words for you.
Later.